Proverbs chapter number 14. Proverbs chapter number 14, please. I'll be reading one verse as my text verse. That's Proverbs 14, verse number 12. While you're turning there, I'd like to say thank you, dear man of God. Thank you, Pastor Greer, for the opportunity and the chance to come and present the gospel of Christ once again. It's always an honor to be able to preach the gospel of Christ. I can say this with all my heart, that if a pastor or a church asked me to come and preach for them, and it was 100 miles away and I had to walk, I'd still find a way to get there. I love preaching. I thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, each and every one. Thank you for the singing. Man, what a blessing. I'm glad that I know that I'm saved. And if the breath left my body right now, I know I'm going to heaven. There is no doubt I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm glad we can know that at such a young age. Amen. There's a lot of uncertainty in this world, but I'm glad that I'm certain that I'm saved by the grace of God. Amen. But thank you for the singing. Thank you for the wonderful activities, the food. It was marvelous. It was wonderful. Had a great time of fellowship. Met new faces, met new friends, and others who we have known. And it's been quite a while since we've seen. And just a blessing in this last day and time that we're able to meet with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and worship the Lord together. So thank you. Thank you for all the churches that are represented. I'll thank my church personally, By the Way Baptist Church. Thank you so much. What a great number came out from our church. I love my church. I'm a local church man. I believe you are to love your church. And I can say I love my church. And there are prayer warriors in our church. There are people young and old that know how to get in touch with God. And they love the Lord. I thank Brother Matt, young preacher on the front row, that God called him. And he's used him to help me through my ministry as well. I thank Lord for my mom and my daddy. I attribute outside of the grace of God everything I am today by them. All I've known all my life is a preaching daddy and a praying mama. And if it were not for them, I would not be here outside of the grace of God. And so thank you so much for that. Proverbs chapter number 14. If you found your place, would you please stand in reverence during of God's word? We are in the King James Bible. It is the only word of God. If you have any other Bible, you might as well close it. I believe if God is God enough to have every hair upon your head numbered, He's God enough to inspire one Bible, the King James Bible. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 14. I'm reading one text verse, and that is verse number 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, there's so much to be preached out of this verse. I've heard many great men of God preach out of this verse. I've probably heard 2,200 messages out of this one verse. But I want to point out something to you that the Lord showed me several months ago. I'm preaching out of the second part of this verse. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We'll get into the thought as soon as we pray. Our Father, in Christ Jesus' name, we come before our throne, Lord. Oh, God, I pray that you just help us, God. Hide us beyond the cross of Calvary. As the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 6:21, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we're nothing. We're nothing without you, God. We realize and recognize that. Oh, God, help thy children. Help us, God. I pray that you help in this youth meeting. May a young person get a hold of you tonight, God. Oh, God, show us thy glory. Revive us again, oh, Lord. Send revival to America and do it through this next generation, I pray. Oh, God, begin here in Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, God, on this Saturday night. I pray, Lord, that you just help us, touch us, God. Oh, Lord, take me, thy servant, God. I'm a little nobody serving a great somebody, telling everybody that you saved today. Oh, Jesus, take us, I pray, for these few moments. I will thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Proverbs chapter number 14, verse number 12. I'm well aware that the first part of the verse is as well as you. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man. Man thinks he has things figured out. Man thinks he has and reached the plateau to where he has reached as far as can be learned. And man is declaring here, we find in this verse, that it's declared that man has the ways in which he thinks he can go. But the second part of the verse says, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Lord is making the statement here that you may seem and you may do what's right in your own eyes. You may go your own way, and you may think you found the ways, but man's ways lead to death. But I'm taking two words out of this verse. Now I'm going to re-quote this verse. And I want you to mentally highlight, mentally circle, whatever's best for you, two words which I will point out. And that is in the second part of the verse. But the end, circle that word end, thereof are the ways of death. Now, circle that word death. Now pull them from the page, so to speak, and you've got the two words, one in one hand and the other in the other hand, the word end and death. Now, I believe it'd be okay to switch these words around in this context tonight, and then we'll put them back and we'll explain where we're going with this thought. Now, put death in front of end. Swap them. And make death into dead. Now, when you put these two words out of the context of Scripture, death and end, you've got a dead end. Now, I believe, and as you know, that the end thereof are the ways of death. That is speaking to the physical death, but it also can apply to the spiritual death. But I'd like to let you know, ladies and gentlemen, before you hit that death, before you hit that end, you are going to hit some dead ends. So with the help of God, I'd like to preach on the subject tonight on caution, dead end street ahead. Caution, young people. Caution, older people. Caution, Ethan Green. There's a dead end street ahead if we keep going our own ways. Number one, let me point out 4 points and I'll be through. Number one. The dead end street of pleasure. Now let me go over to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Now we are well aware of the fact that this chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews is known as a hall of faith. Now we are well aware as well, verse number 25, verses 23 through 29 is speaking about Moses. Now we are all well acquainted with Moses, so we will not take the time to review Moses and the life and the ministry God had for him. What we find here is a young man named Moses, and you know the story how he ended up in the Pharaoh's palace. You know all that. But here's a young man, he spent his entire first young life, all his teenage years, in the palace of Pharaoh. If he wanted the fastest chariot, he wanted to say he could go to his daddy and say, Pharaoh, I want the fastest chariot in all of Egypt. If he wanted the fastest horse, he could say, Mama, I want the fastest horse, and it was there for him. Here Moses had everything at his fingertips. Here Moses had everything he wanted, everything he could have ever dreamed. His livelihood was right here. And I mean, he was in great position. He could have lived a well-off life. But the Bible says in verse number 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, but for a season. Now, ladies and gentlemen, he says here that he chose to rather suffer the afflictions. Now, we realize that the children of Israel were in slavery, were in bondage in Egypt for over 400 years. And God, through this young man, Moses, because Moses was willing, because Moses went for God, because Moses wanted to follow God, God used Moses and raised up a man to deliver Egypt and eventually led into the Canaan land. Now, he had everything at his fingertips. But notice the latter part of this verse. Then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. This is not an eternal thing. Sin is not eternal. It is not lasting. Pleasure wears off. I've heard so many people say, they've said it out, it is okay. But I get sick of people saying, well, and telling the young people, there's no pleasure in sin. That's a lie. There is pleasure in sin. The Bible declares it right here. There is pleasure. You go out, show your wild oats. You enjoy your youth, whatever. But there will be pleasure. But it's only but for a season. It is only for a season. The Lord just pointed something out to me, so bear with me. I'm going to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes. Lord just brought something to mind. Amen. I love when he does that. And let me do this. Ecclesiastes chapter number 11, verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine own heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. Now, stop here. God's saying, okay, you can go ahead. He's saying, yes, there's pleasure in sin for a season. Yes, you go on out. Yes, you go on. Sow your wild oats, so to speak. Yes, you go ahead and you indulge in sin. You go ahead and mess up your life. But notice the latter part of this verse. Notice this. But know thou that for all these things, God will, not maybe, not if, God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And chapter number 12, verse number 1 says, remember now the Creator in the days of youth, while in the evil days come not, nor years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now we are well acquainted here, and so we've covered the basics for that. pleasure, there is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. Just keep this in mind, young people and older alike. Keep this in mind, Ethan Green, that there's pleasure in sin but for a season, but the wages are eternal. The wages are for eternity. You may go ahead, you may hang out with your friends, you may get caught up in sin and a sinful lifestyle, but it'll only be for a season. The pleasure, and then you're stuck and left hanging. I'd like to say this and point this out very quickly. There is one thing that Satan will not show you and I. Satan, through television, through Hollywood, will show you the grand side, the glamours, the Broadway, so to speak, of sin. He'll show you the pleasures of sin, young people. He'll show you the pleasure. What about the commercials of alcohol, Bud Dumber, and all that garbage? What about all that? They show you, man, here we go, a sign of a good time. All these slogans, propaganda. Oh, man, they promote pleasure in it. Man, they sit back and let's drink a little bit. Let's sit back and enjoy it. Let's sit back and have fun. They promote that's the only way to have real joy and pleasure in this world. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not, and I will deal with that in just a moment. But they promote the wonderful side of sin. They promote, but they never show you the flip side of the billboard. I would love to see a commercial where it has alcohol and then the flip side of the billboard. Here you are, here's the young people gathering up and they're drinking and man, they're having themselves a time. But notice the flip side of the billboard and you've got young people laying out over the sofa, vomit all over the floor. The press don't even know what happened. Some in jail because they got in a fight that they don't even remember anything about. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it will kill and destroy you. The pleasures of sin are not worth it. You better back off and away from it. What about Adam and Eve? Satan showed them the pleasures of sin. Satan showed them, oh man, you can be as gods. You can be a god to yourself. He showed them the glamours. He showed them the fruit. They didn't have to accept it. They chose to. And as a result, look what happened. Satan never showed them the flip side of that billboard. The front side is glamorous, but the back side is full of cobwebs and spiders and it's dark. Pleasure is a dead-end street, young people. It is a dead-end street. What about Cain and Abel? Cain and Abel loved doing what they did. We know that Abel was the keeper of the sheep and Cain tilled the ground. He raised the garden. And Cain found pleasure in his work. Now, we are the enjoy work. Amen. Daddy has taught me and my family to enjoy work. But here's the thing that got with Cain. He wanted to give God his works. He said, God, here's what I've done, and I'm going to offer to you the thing that offers me pleasure. I'm going to offer this. This is what I'm doing. I'm not doing anything else. Pleasure got in the way between Cain and God. And you know the story, and we will not spend the time to review how that Cain slew Abel. And after it's all said and done, what did Cain say? He said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. What about the pleasure there? Is there any pleasure? Is there any happy? Is Cain happy? Is he rejoicing? No. He's saying, my punishment is greater than I could bear. And God put a mark upon Cain, the Bible says. What about Samson and Delilah? I've got the hurry. Samson and Delilah. Man, Samson, hear what... Would it be okay if I took this? I think. Samson and Delilah. Samson here is a young man full of God. Yeah. Samson is a young man. He's just a young teenage boy. And God chooses him mightily. God raised him up as a judge in Israel. And you read the story. You find out. Man, God was all over this young man. God had his power and his seal approval upon this young person. Upon this young teenager. And his pleasure and his lust. He sought out this whore. This harlot. And you know the story. As a result of this problem. As a result of the pleasure in his life. It killed him. It destroyed him. What about David and Bathsheba? What about that? What happened there? Just a brief moment of pleasure. Nothing wrong with it. Maybe I can get by with it. He had it covered up, so to speak. But look what happened. And read on the judgment upon David and his house. The sword never departed from his house. because of that sin, that moment of pleasure. It can only be a one moment of pleasure, young people. Just a moment of time. Ladies and gentlemen, consider. I beg you, consider the outcome. Consider the outcome. Consider the cost. Count the cost. And see if it's worth it. Oh, what about smoking? Stupid. You're putting a stick in your mouth that's going to kill you. Smoking. Side effect, lung cancer. Alcohol, liver and brain damage. Premature death. Fornication. Adultery. Homosexuality. HIVs. STDs. AIDS. Syphilis. And all the other many diseases. Now, a doctor said this about all these diseases being contracted through sexual relationship outside of marriage. Most cause premature death, others blindness or paralyzation, sometimes both, and many other abnormal side effects. And as a result of that, you will carry disease till the day you die. And if you still are able to reproduce and have children of your own, your child will most probably be born with one or more disorders such as blindness, deaf, paralyzation, mentally retarded, and sometimes as serious as death. You know, it's surprising to me, Satan never shows the side effects to sin. Satan never shows the side effects, young people, to pleasure. Beware, young people. Watch out. Satan is cunning. He's had over 6,000 years experience upon our young teenager lifespan. But by the grace of God, young people, you can overcome it. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let me say, your decision and the outcome of your sin will not only affect you, but it will affect your children, friends, family, and others around you. I will deal with that in the next point. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say, the first dead-end street that you will come to is a dead-end street of pleasure. Number two, I've got the hurry. Notice the dead-end street of pretending. You know, it's amazing to me that young people and older alike, they want to indulge in this sinful lifestyle. They want to indulge in it. And they want to have themselves a time. But after it's all over with, they want to hide it and cover it up. They pretend nothing's happened. They pretend nothing took place. And they just want to get out of the way. They don't want anything to be said about it. You know, it drives me crazy to no end. I've been to churches in other states. I remember I was in a church in Tennessee and how that young people that I knew were indulging in sin. Man, they'd be with women on Saturday night, all over the bar stool on Friday night, come in and get a pat on the back. Young people, let me tell you, there are consequences to sin. Young people, there are consequences to the sin that you indulge in. The pleasures, there will be consequences. Let me say on pleasures, joy comes from the Lord. Dr. Sammy Allen made a statement, says it all the time. Happiness comes with happiness, but joy comes from the Lord. As it has been said and said so very well, Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. That is joy. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm 16, turned 16 this month. And it's wonderful serving Jesus. I love it. It's wonderful. Nothing can compare to serving Jesus. Pretending, though. It's natural for man to try and cover up and to fix. I did not have that turned on. Anyway, it's natural for man to try and cover up their sins. What about Adam and Eve? What about the glamours? What about the pleasure that they enjoyed? What about the fruit? All of a sudden, they forgot about the fruit. They didn't want anything to be associated with the fruit. They ran from the tree that they had been running to. Man's natural tendency after sin is to run and hide. John chapter number 3 says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And when someone commits a sin, the last thing they want it to be is revealed, exposed. They want it to be covered, kick it under the rug, and they want it out of the way, pretending that it's forgotten. Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves, for they found they were naked. They tried to run from God, but that didn't work. That's Jonah. He tried to run from God. And even the psalmist of Israel, David, said if he were to descend to the heart of the earth, hell, the Lord would be there. There's nowhere, ladies and gentlemen, that you're going without God being there and seeing. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs also, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding just the good. No, the evil and the good. Pretending. What about Achan? I've got to hurry. Achan, what about his sins? Here is a man after they conquered Jericho, after obeying God, after following God's command. They marched around the city of Jericho 7 times and it came crumbling down. Now, according to history, archaeologists believe that Jericho had around a population of 140,000 people. 140,000 people in Jericho. And they went in, they took it, and man, they overtook the city and had a great victory that day. It wasn't long after they decided to go on up to Ai. Now, Ai is believed to have a population between 3 and 4,000. And they got beat. And Israel began fleeing for their lives. What happened? Why did that happen? How could they defeat 140,000 come and then lose to 3 or 4,000? Joshua got on his face, laid on his belly, and began praying. And God said, "There's sin in the camp." And they began and they brung everyone in and they would worship the Lord. Man, there's a message that could be preached on that. Achan couldn't even worship the Lord. When you're running from God, there's no praise. There's no worship. You can't do any of that. It affects that. He could not worship. And they went to his tent and there they found under his tent the Babylonish garments, the gold and the silver, the sin in the camp was right here. Now, what about Achan? Let's think about this for a minute. Achan may have been getting all this stuff to try and provide for his family. The fact is, young people, it's still disobedience to God. Obey God while you're young. Listen to God. Go with God. He pretended that everything was hid, though. He didn't want no one to find out. God saw and God revealed it. That's why Moses said in the Bible, when two and a half tribes, Gad, Reuben, and the half tribe, Manasseh, you remember that story, and we will not go into detail, but Moses made the statement, be sure your sins will find you out. Achan's sin, they brung him to the valley of Achor. And there he died. They stoned him to death. But was it him himself? No. Is his children? Is his wife? Is his family? Is his cattle? Is his tent? Is his home? His livelihood? All buried in rocks and stones. Why did they have to suffer? Could you imagine them walking down the hill into the valley and the little daughter looks up at Mama and said, "Mama, why are we going down here?" And little Johnny says, "Mama, what are all those people doing around us, Mama? Surrounding us with rocks and stones. Why are they throwing them at us?" Son, it's because Daddy's sin. It will not only affect you young people, it'll affect others around you. It will not only affect you, it'll affect others around you. What about David? It didn't only affect him and Bathsheba. It affected his entire house. It affected the kingdom. Be careful, friend. Pretending is a dead-end street. And you will be exposed and found out. So number one, if you can see, if you fall into the pleasure, you sin, you end up trying to cover it up by pretending. Number three, and I've got 4 points. Number three, the point that goes hand in hand with pretending is procrastination. These, when you get in caught in sin, or you don't get caught, you try and pretend, you are procrastinating. Now, procrastinating means to postpone, to put off to a future time. Not to deal with it right now, but to put it off. So many times, you may end up sinning. And then you try and pretend everything's okay. And you procrastinate. You put it off. Saying, "I can get by with it." Saying, "I'm fine. I'm doing okay." You procrastinate. That's probably one of the greatest and the most dangerous sins. Is procrastination. Beware, oh, ladies and gentlemen. David would have never revealed it. David would have never told it to anyone. God found him out, though. Here David is procrastinating. David didn't repent. David didn't confess it to the Lord. God will reveal it, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't get it right. Procrastination, some of you young people and older alike, There may be sin in the camp. You may be in a dead-end corner. A dead-end street. You may be in sin right now that if your parents even had the slightest clue or inkling to, they would fall over in their graves. If your pastor knew the Johnny and Susie that sung up in the choir, the Johnny and Susie that always walked into church with the Bible, what they were indulging in, it'd probably shock him to no end. There's sins that only you and the Lord know about. And trust me, it may be. The Lord always knows. You may be in a dead-end street. The worst thing you can do is procrastinate. You need to get it right. You need to get it fixed. You need to get under the blood of Christ and deny it. Don't procrastinate. The dead-end street ahead. You may not get caught the first time. It may be the second or third time. Ladies and gentlemen, your sins will find you out. He who covereth his sins shall prosper. No. Shall not prosper is the correct quotation. You are not going to prosper. You want God upon your life. You want good relations with family and friends. You being in sin and sin in the camp, sin in the life, will affect everything that you have and hold dear. It will affect it all. You'll be miserable. Number three, we dealt with procrastination. Young people, let me say this. In the bedroom, they propaganda for out of Hollywood is sex, fornication, immorality, homosexuality, adultery, all wicked sins. But Hugh Hefner and Playboy and all this pornography out of hell. It is destroying the youth of America. It's destroying our Baptist churches. Not very often preached, but it's a truth out of hell. And man, it stimulates a lust. And the lust begins going to work. When lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death, the book of James says. You may say, preacher, it's all safe, it's all good, and nothing will happen. Let me ask you something. That's not true. That's a lie. That's a lie of the devil and a lie of people, friends. Suppose something goes wrong. And suppose that you ended up indulging in the pleasures because the girl said, I'll ditch you. Or the boy said, I won't have you. And you find out later on down the road that the girl's pregnant. There's a 12-year-old in Boone that's pregnant. They're all over the place. 12, 13, 14-year-old, up into the teenage years, ought to be playing with dolls. Boys ought to be playing with Tonka trucks. Pleasure, Satan's killing the next generation. Satan's destroying America by kin to this next generation. But suppose, take the two sides. Parents who the bed is undefiled. Parents who are fine expecting. It's all happy. There's giggling, there's laughter. They're expecting. But some of you young people, something goes terribly wrong that you didn't foresee or you didn't plan or you didn't think could happen. And all of a sudden, there's not laughter. There's weeping. There's crying. There's shame. And now you're trying to figure out how you're going to support a child. Some of you girls fall all gung-ho over some of these hussies who can't hold up their pants. Their pants drag the ground. If a boy can't hold up his pants, how's he supposed to hold down a job? Amen. Young people, you've got to be careful on these things. Beware. Beware. Number one, dead end street of pleasure, pretending, procrastination. But number four, and I've got to close. Notice the result of it. Especially to you saved, you postpone God from your life. Pastor and preachers, I don't have no doubt, would everyone from 8, that's a teenager, from 11, from 10 until 20, would you please stand? From ages 10 to 20, would you please stand? Everyone look around, all you adults. And young people look around, look at this next generation. I have not one doubt in my mind. And I'm so humbled at the fact that Pastor Greer
the next evangelist that could shake America for the glory and honor of God could be in our midst. The next missionary that God could take and use to go to some third world country who's under communism, God could use one of these young people to go in and revive a nation for the glory and honor of God. The next great songwriter could be in our midst. Lord knows we need them in this day and time. Oh, the possibilities are endless. Next preachers, pastors, missionaries, wives could be in our midst and in the congregation. Next businessman, next millionaire that God could raise up could be in here. That God could raise up a millionaire, a great businessman that could give to the church, give faithfully, tithe, and God could use him financially. The possibilities are endless. The will of God, there's a will of God. Not everyone may be called to preach. But there's always a will of God for each and every one of you. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. I've just looked over a congregation of young people who God no doubt wants to use in great and mighty power. But there's someone else wanting them, and Satan's his name. Satan will love nothing more to get his claws upon you and rip your life, shipwreck you. And yes, you can get forgiveness, but you'll always go to the grave with scars. Postponing the will of God. How'd you stand up? Some of you young people may be in sin, considered sin, maybe in sin or have sinned. And as a result, you are postponing God in your life. When there is sin in the camp, the children of Israel could not go forward for God. They were a dead even halt. And when you're in sin and there's sin in your life, you postpone God. You put God on hold. And what God wants to do through you as a young person, as a teenager in your life, you are saying, I don't want it. No, you are putting God on hold. And that's a very dangerous position to be in.
Amen.
I was saved at age 7. I'm going to go very quickly. Let me go through this. Again, I was called to preach at 14. It's during the 2 years that I was the most miserable, between 12 and 14, that God called me to preach at the age of 14. I did not want to preach. That was the last thing in my mind. I'm young. I'm vibrant. I want to do all that I want to do. I said, Lord, call me the preacher when I'm 20 or 30 years old. Let me be married. Let me have children. Let me have family. Let me have a job. And then I'll consider it. I did not want to preach. That sounds bad, but it's the truth. I came up with every excuse. God, I'm not preaching. God, I'm not preaching. Young people, that's dangerous. For 2 years, the goodness of God was manifested by not giving up on me. For 2 years, every day and every other day, God would be there saying, I want you to preach. I'd be working on top of a mountain. I'd be swinging a bush axe. I'd be spreading fertilizer. I'd be doing something, working the hay field. And all I could think about is, I want you to preach. I want you to preach. I remember I lay in bed hours on end. I remember nights I lay for 2 and 3 hours worrying. God wanted me to preach. And man, I toss over and I think, well, everything's quiet. I'm going to sleep. And there he would be right there. There wasn't room enough for me and him in that room. And I had to give up myself. But young people, let me tell you, I wish before the Lord that I would have gave my heart and life to God the first time he ever knocked. Oh, how much farther along I could have been. Oh, how much greater God could have used me if I had answered the first time God knocked on my heart's door, but I postponed. I can say that the most dangerous place is out of the will of God. It's a time whether it's trouble with your parents, trouble with friends, whatever is out of the will of God, you're miserable. There's some of you are here saved, but you're miserable. I've seen faces today. I look across the congregation. Some of you young people, you look miserable. You look so unhappy. But can I tell you, Jesus loves you. And if you've never been saved, Jesus can save you. The Bible says it's as simple as this in Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's so simple. But some of you young people here, I'm well aware of the fact as well, that you're miserable because you're running from God. You're running from the Lord. Man, some of you are here waiting just to get out of the house. Just let me get all my old. Let me reach 18. And then I'll be out here. Some of you, by your looks and expressions, are in that category. I know a pastor's son who left home, forsook everything, all he'd known is a preaching daddy and a praying mama. Left home, one of my best friends. He's come back. The world was not worth it to him. The world was not all it cracked up to be. But by rejecting God, by indulging in the pleasures, worldly pleasures, by hanging around those worldly friends, by hanging around those carnal people, you are postponing God's calling, God's will in your life, young people. No doubt God wants to use you. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. Don't do it, young people. There's a world out there. Caution, dead end street. You may ignore these warnings. You may think nothing of them. But eventually, if you keep neglecting God and rejecting Him, it'll lead into death. Satan is probably one of the best artists I know. Satan can paint a picture that is picture perfect. It is wonderful. He is an artist. He is great at it. But he never shows you the backside of the billboard. He will not show you the man in the gutter, the abusive daddy, the teenager walking the sidewalks, looking and hoping that someone before him had dropped a pill or a drug. While Satan will not show you, he'll show you the great life, but he will not show you the children who's digging around in the garbage cans, digging for some scraps, some food, because their mama and daddy are hooked on drugs, marijuana, or his or her mom's a prostitute, his dad's run off with another woman. All over America this is happening. And kids left to this. He will not show you that. Oh, Satan promised pleasure to every sob drunk. Satan promised pleasure to every druggie. Satan promised pleasure to every prostitute, whore, and harlot. But what about the end? Dead end. Lives ruined. Lives shattered. This is the next generation of the church. This, if Jesus prolongs and does not come, this is the next generation of the church. This is America coming on. My generation to young people. I'm a young preacher to young people. Young people, I know what you're going through. I battle the same temptations. My flesh battles the same temptations as yours does. None of us are above falling. We are the next generation of the church. We have got to realize that. We are the next generation. As Moses prayed, Lord, show me thy glory. May we get some young people who would say, Lord, show me thy glory. Lord, I want to see you. For America to ever experience revival, America's going to have to want it. For America to want it, for God to shake this young people, God's going to have to reveal Himself. As the musicians come, I'm getting ready to turn it over to Pastor Greer. I wonder how many young people here would join me in the altar and say, Preacher, I'm not what I should have been. And Preacher, I've fallen. I've indulged in sin. I've fallen. We've all sinned. But some, you may say, Preacher, if you only know, I don't need to know. It's between you and God. Young people, there's things in the corridors of your mind that only you and God know about. Your parents may know about, but I'm talking about the outside public may have no knowledge of it. And that, yeah, again, they may do it. Why don't you come to God? I'm glad the Lord does not hold grudges. I'm glad the Lord says, okay, son, you failed me. I'm not going to trust you again, or I would have never been called to preach. How about you come on down? Give your heart and life to Christ. There's some down here. How about you young people? It's never too early to start seeking the will of God for your life. How about there be some young people that say, I want to go with God. I want God to take me. There may be a young man answer the call to preach. God's dealing with him heart. Whatever the will of God, search it out and ask God. Some of you young men, some of you young ladies, how about you come home and say, Lord, I'm giving my life to you. Lord, I'm trusting you to give me the right one for my life. I wonder how many would be here, some young people. Let's stand to our feet, heads are bowed, eyes are closed.